Happy Tuesday. Thank you so much for joining me. It's Tuesday, February 19th, 2013. My name is Debbie Quain, and you're listening to another live recording of Confetti, the wedding planning business talk show. If you're passionate about planning weddings for other people, you're in the right place. Each Tuesday, normally each Tuesday anyway, at 8 p.m. Eastern, you can catch the recording of this show. For more information and for replays and scheduling and other details, please go to confettiradio.com. That's the website that goes along with this show, confettiradio.com. Confetti Radio is also on Facebook and on Twitter. And the show is actually part of iTunes and Stitcher Smart Radio. So you can find the show there if you, if you're on the go. Stitcher Smart Radio is a really great app. And of course, I'm sure that you know about iTunes. If you need more information, you can check out weddingsforaliving.com, where you can get free articles and resources about being a really phenomenal wedding planner. That's my word of the week, phenomenal. Have you noticed? I said that in the email today. If you're interested in being starting a part-time wedding planning business, then please check out Wedding Business Guide. And there you'll find downloadable forms, audio classes, and much more. Speaking of which, we have our February live class tomorrow, and I'll share a little bit more information about that too. So if you are joining me live, welcome again. Please feel free to be a part of the conversation. You can catch the live video stream at confettilive.com, confettilive.com. And if you'd like to call in just to get the audio only, I have to look that up. I don't know my number by heart. The number to call is 213-992-4358. Okay. And if you dial that number, you'll catch the live stream, just the audio version. But even when the show is offline, you can catch looping replays of archived episodes. So the number is 213-992-4358. If you're joining me today, I don't know if you just remembered the time at 8 p.m. on Tuesdays, but if you would like to get an email or just be part of the email list, you can sign up on confettiradio.com. Just find the subscribe tab. What's that? That's not the right term, is it? On the right-hand sidebar, there's a box there where you can sign up. If you're in the United States, why not get a text message when we're about to go live? So just text the word confetti to 71441. And right before the show's going to go, right before the show goes live, you'll get a text message. Okay, so that you can text the word confetti to 71441. Okay. Courtney is in the chat room asking, can you not listen to the live show on an iPad? You should be able to. The thing is, Athena's already. Okay. Well, you guys have it all under control. I know the live stream currently is via Ustream, and I believe Ustream has an app, so that may help you. I've used live stream in the past. We were getting just the quality was a little off, so I'm kind of going back and forth, but for the most part, Adobe Flash is required with Livestream. I would imagine Ustream is somewhat similar, but I know Apple products, Apple doesn't play with them. They don't play with Flash too much. So I'm not going to pretend that I have all the answers. So I need to add that on my list, find out to make sure that the show streams live on an iOS device. But I know Ustream has an app for that. Okay, well, we've got quite a few bits and pieces to talk about tonight. If you joined me for the last show, let me apologize because last week's show was on a Thursday and that was based on my scheduling. And then I failed to send an email to the Confetti Radio email list. I'm so sorry. So I know you may have been waiting diligently for the show to go live and it didn't happen. It happened on Thursday. And then I had the nerve on Thursday to announce that I was going to make some changes. But in light of the hiccups of last week, I'm going to hold back on some of those changes. But if you listen to the replay of the show, which you can find at confettiradio.com/335, you'll get the gist of what I was talking about. The show was pretty short, 30 minutes, which is what I'm trying to do now, is trying to keep the live episodes, shorten them, and have them closer to the 30 to 45-minute mark as opposed to an hour. If we've got stuff to talk about for an hour, or we can, you know, if If it's going to be an extended show, then I will try to announce that. But we all have things to do, and I want to make sure that I try to get the best information in without taking up a whole bunch of your time. If you're part of the live chat room, please post your Facebook URL, your Pinterest URL, your Twitter handle, your website, however you would like folks to reach out and connect with you. Because I found that that there's a lot of community spirit, and I love that. So please communicate with one another, and that this is part of the reason why Confetti is in existence. A, for me to help as best I can, but B, so that you can speak and communicate with like-minded folks, people who are also passionate about the things that you are. And right now we're talking about weddings, right? So please post your URL in the chat room. Hopefully I haven't left that locked like I did last week, which means you couldn't get in there. I'm not hearing any issues, so I'm assuming we can move forward. And every time I say that, someone has an issue. All right. So just to keep you posted with regard, I said that I'm going to try to shorten the show, the live episodes, but I will, for the next few weeks anyway, be posting an additional episode, which will not be live, but it's just a way to get some more content, because I have a backlog, a list of things that I would like to share with you. And if we just do this once a week, it's just not enough time. So, I mean, conceivably we could do two shows a week. I don't want to take up all of your time doing that. So I can still record the show and post it. But I will, if you're on the Confetti Radio email list, you'll know when the episode is up. But the goal is to have that happen by Friday morning. Okay. Okay, great. So you're able to post your URLs. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Okay. One of my favorite things right about now is Audible. I go through, I'm like a little 5-year-old. I have little things that appeal to me. Words always appeal to me. So I'm always trying to use words. And my word this week is phenomenal. It's like a little kid. You know, when they say, they give you a vocab word and they want you to use it. Well, I'm always trying to use words. So phenomenal is the word of the week. So Audible is one of my my favorites right now. It's another pet thing of mine. And if you're listening to the show, then I know you get audio. Audio is a good thing, right? Not the video stream too, but you can do audio. And if you don't have time like me, if you like reading, but you just don't have time to read, then why not listen to someone read you a book? It's like someone reading you a book at bedtime. So Audible, which is an Amazon company, has thousands and thousands and thousands of books on audio. So you can sign up and get a book by signing up using a special URL that I'm going to give to you, confettiradio.com/audible. confettiradio.com/audible, AUDIBLE. And with a 30-day trial, you'll get a credit. One free credit is equal to a book. So you can download a book. And the best part is, I mean, Audible is a great service. You get a credit each month and you can, get your book. And if you want to buy more books, you can at a reduced rate. But that one book that you get, that one credit you get in the trial period is yours to keep. So, that's a really great way to pick a book. If you're like me and so indecisive, it may take you a while to decide what that book is going to be. But take advantage of the credit and download the book. But I think you'll enjoy it. So whether you're commuting, exercising, just chilling at home, or maybe at work or whatever, you can just listen to the book. And it syncs up. I think the term is whisper sync, so that it remembers where you are, even if you switch devices. So check out Audible. I'm about to give you the wrong URL. confettiradio.com/audible. Okay. All right. Wanted to let you know about an upcoming event for wedding planners. And the name, the name of the event is the Wedding Business Evolution Summit. Wedding Business Evolution Summit, hosted by Heidi Thompson. Heidi is originally from Detroit and now resides in the UK. Go UK. And her event is described as a 100% online event for wedding business owners who want to learn how to market and run their business better and more efficiently. That sounds fantastic. So this live online event is going to be hosted. It's going to begin the week of February 25th. That's next week. And the way it goes is that each live event is free for 24 hours. So it looks like there are different sessions. So if you're part of the live session, you get that free, I guess, and then, for 24 hours. And I guess at some point, if you're not able to make the live sessions, then I'm sure there's a a fee involved. But for right now, you can listen to the be part of the live event, which begins the week of February 25th. And the name of Heidi Thompson's business is Evolve Your Wedding Business. But the event itself is called Wedding Business Evolution Summit. So if you go to evolveyourweddingbusiness.com, and I'll put that in the chat. Okay, let me put the HTTP so it's a clickable link. But don't go there now because you're listening to the show. Evolve Your Wedding Biz. Oh, gosh. Come on, Debbie. Business.com. I guess I could have saved that before the show and I wouldn't have to type. So check that out when you can. Amaray, hi there. It looks like whatever you're typing in is coming up blocked. Oh, I know what it is. You have to be signed in to post your link. So either you sign in with Twitter or you sign in with Facebook. But I think if you're not signed in, I can probably fix that. Hold on one moment. I'm going to say that awful word that I always say, poor favor. Shame on me. Sorry, guys, for the distraction. Let me just get this done. There's a way to get around that. See, I always think I have it together. This is where we would be playing. Let me get in here. Sorry. Is that where I go? Here. Of course, moving too fast. Okay, Amory, try now. You should be able to post your web link now without a problem, okay? All right, sorry about that. My apologies. Okay, so we talked about Heidi's event, Evolve Your Wedding Business, and if you communicate with Heidi, tell her Debbie sent you over there. All right, your wedding planner questions, please keep them coming. You can either call in, the number to call, I hate to give you tons and tons of phone numbers, I've already given you the number to listen to the live show, but the number to call, which is the listener talkback line, which is available 24 hours a day, is 202-681-2126, and you can just leave your message, I'll get it, and then I'll play it back on the air. If you don't want me to play it back on the air, just say so in the greeting, in your message, and I won't do that. But this is a great way for us to learn, and I can hopefully answer your question. And if I don't know the answer, I will do my utmost to find the answer for you. Okay. So 202-681-2126. And if you don't remember that number, don't worry about it. Just go to confettiradio.com. And if you select the ask page or confettiradio.com/ask, A-S-K, you'll see there's also an online form. So you can type your question in there or you can just call the phone number. Okay. So there you go. Please send your questions in. I am happy to try and help you. As I mentioned earlier, Wedding Business Guide, which is the comprehensive site which gives you, which has a lot of online tutorials, and we have a live class each month, which is all designed to help you start a wedding planning business. Well, our February class is tomorrow, February 20th, and the topic is how to create a welcome kit. So if you're a wedding planner, this is a really great way when your prospects become clients, it's just a way to welcome them. It's just a package of information. I call mine a welcome kit. It can be welcome packet or however you want to phrase it, but it's just a way to welcome your new clients. And we'll be talking about things that you can include. I'll share what's included in mine. So if you're thinking about Wedding Business Guide, just wanted to let you know that topic is something we'll be talking about live tomorrow. And if you cannot make any of the live classes that are on Wedding Business Guide, the recordings are always available in the members area. So check out weddingbusinessguide.com. All right. So I think that's what I really wanted to cover, the housekeeping stuff. I did mention Confetti Radio's on Facebook. Please consider being a part of the Confetti Insiders Facebook group. Great info sharing, a lot of interaction, and I am so happy to see different resources being shared back and forth. You guys are wonderful. Love you, love you, love you. So Confetti Radio, okay, come on, Deb, facebook.com/groups/Confetti Insiders, and it's a closed group. I think that's the right term. If you just request to be part of that, I can just get you in there, or I think someone else. Anyone who's already on the group, in a part of the group, can bring people in. But it's a great way to interact, and there's a lot of back and forth and information there. And some of that information is great fodder for topics. So please check that out. Okay, so our Speaking of, we talked about questions earlier. Today, I wanted to focus our episode on a question that I got from the wonderful Angelica. And Angelica is based in Florida. And here is what she asked. She said, "Hi, Debbie. New kid bridal planner here in Orlando. And I am practicing my planning on a friend of mine who is getting married in Miami. And don't worry, she knows I'm fresh off the block and working my planning muscles. My question for you is, how do you negotiate the price of a venue to suit a bride's budget? How do you counteroffer and not insult them per se on asking to lower their price? I have a bride that loves a venue, and the venue offers everything, tables, linens, catering, cake, everything, minus photography. The venue rental alone is $3,000 plus $99 to $150 per head for the catering. She lowered her guest list by 40 people, making it only 100 guests for 100 guests. They called, I guess that's the venue, called and asked the bride what they feel is a suitable budget for her, but what if they counter something way too high? In other words, can you discuss how to negotiate prices with vendors?" Okay. All right. Well, let's see. So, I'd be curious to hear what you guys think. So, Angelica is helping a friend plan her wedding, and she says she's just flexing her planning muscles. This is a trial for her. And she wants to know how to negotiate. Well, a couple of things. And I will tell you, when I got the message, I contacted Angelica just to get some clarification. So, listen, you can send, when you send your questions, you don't have to write paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs. You can just give me the basics. But if there's anything I don't get, then I can just email you or call you. And Angelica included her phone number, so I was able to talk to her, and she gave me the 411. So, you know, never worry about having to break everything down. So she wants to know how to negotiate. And that's a really good question, a really great question, because it's part of what our brides, our clients expect us to do, is how to negotiate. And I don't know if I'm the best negotiator, but really, I can give you a few pointers. So situation is, and what Angelica did not include, I'm sorry, I forgot to say that, is that she didn't tell me what her friend's budget was for the wedding. So based on the venue is a place the bride really likes, and it's all inclusive. Everything's included except photography. So they've got the food, the linens, the table, the catering, cake, she says, everything minus photography. So it's a place that the bride wants. Now, when I spoke to Angelica, she told me the bride's budget is $15,000. And based on what's happened, so what they've come up with so far, the venue is totaling in the $17,000 range. So any feedback, I'm going to try to keep my eye on the chat. Please chime in. So the first thing we have to really keep in mind, before you move forward with your clients, you have to know what their budget is. That's always important to know. And a lot of times you'll realize they don't have a direct response for you. You have to, pull that information from them. You have to know the budget first. You have to know how much money do they have to spend. Do they have it, and do they have it all now, or are they going to be getting bits and pieces as they go along with the wedding planning? Is anyone else contributing? You know, are their parents paying, or, you know, is an aunt helping? What's going on? Are they paying, you know, do they have a savings account, especially for the wedding? These are questions you must ask your clients if you are to help them plan this wedding. You cannot be in a vacuum with that. You've got to know what's going on. Once you know what the budget is, or how much money they have to spend, then you need it to become a magician of sorts to figure out how to divvy up this money. And we have to remember, most of us get into the wedding planning business because we're very passionate about weddings. We're very creative. We just love everything that has to do with nuptials. But as a wedding planner, you do have to take on the role as money manager also. The one exception to that, I think, is if you're doing day of, because a lot of that means you're doing the end part of the planning, and most of the stuff has already been taken care of. So it doesn't come into play as much. But you have to know what your client's budget is. And once you know what the budget is, then you've got to try to divvy that up, as I say, so that they get an idea of how much to spend in what area. You will see a lot of bridal magazines and wedding planner books that say this percentage goes toward photography, This percentage should go towards transportation. This percentage should go towards food. Those are great guidelines, but they're only guidelines because each client is very different. Your clients will let you know if you ask them what their priorities are. Some clients, I've had some clients where photography was the biggest deal and they were willing to spend a lot of money to get excellent pictures. Other clients were very, very concerned about the food and wanted to spend a good portion of the budget on the food to make sure that it was a great experience. For others, they weren't really concerned about the reception. They just wanted to have the wedding and have some, you know, maybe great flowers and not go crazy. So you have to find out what that is. Then and only then can you start assigning what amounts go to how much, which portions of the budget go to which area. So you've got to know how much they have to spend, and then you've got to find out what their priorities are. And then you can use those same guidelines, those same budgets that you see and in the bridal magazines and what you've learned in your wedding planner certification course, if you've done that, and then you tweak that a little bit. It's not hard and fast. There's no set rule to how to divide a budget. And then what you have to do, which may be difficult, especially if you're a new planner, is you have to keep it real. You have to let your clients know, this is how much money you've got to spend. This is what this, based on the guest count, the head count, the number of people that are coming to this wedding, this is probably what kind of wedding you can have. A lot of us deal with brides who have, what's that term? The apples, the champagne taste on the apple cider budget, sparkling cider budget, or worse to that effect. You're not trying to kill the dream, but you have to let them know this is what you can get for the money you have. And if you want this type of wedding, well, this is the amount of money we're looking at. So Angelica, the first thing is the budget. And when you told me what the bride's budget was and you told me what the venue was working out to be, there's a bit of a disconnect there. Usually a budget with the wedding budget, it's safe to say, now I'm going to slightly contradict myself slightly because I said the budget changes, but usually the reception takes up, it's safe. I've found that if I budget about 50% of the budget for the wedding reception, I'm safe. So based on a budget of $15,000 for the entire wedding, about $7,500 of that is going to go towards the reception. Now, this venue is a little different because everything's included. You're saying the only thing that's not included is the photographer. But what about her wedding dress? What about transportation? I wasn't, and I forgot to ask Angelica if the ceremony was happening there with the reception. What about gifts and attire for the bridal party? Those things are still part of the wedding budget. So if the bride's budget, again, is $15,000 and the venue's totaling $17,000, although they include a lot of stuff, there's a disconnect. And we have to be professional in the sense that you don't want it to be a situation where you're trying to get, the bride is seeing something and she's trying to fit her budget into that. It has to be the other way around. So my first thing is, if I know the budget is $15,000 and she's got a heart set on the venue, it's one of two things. Either she finds more money or she finds a less expensive venue. That's my first point. But we're talking about negotiation here. So 50% of the budget, as I said, normally goes towards a reception. But again, there are lots of bits and pieces that this venue is going to include. And bottom line is less guests, less money. You've already said, Angelica's already said that this bride has already cut down some of her guest list. That's tough to do, but kudos for her for doing that. But us, as wedding planners, we have to know certain things. Before we get into this business and say that we're professional wedding planners, we have to know what the average wedding costs in our area. You must know that. Because then you'll know whether that venue that is giving this price, is that a fair price? Is that the going rate? Is it middle of the road? Is it higher or is it less expensive than what's normal? Now, granted, Angelica is in Orlando. This wedding's happening in Miami, so it's not exactly local. But Angelica, you need to find out what the average wedding costs in Miami. Then you need to find out when is high season. I think you may have told me this, but I've forgotten. I'm sorry. When this wedding is taking place. Is it happening when there's a high demand for venues like that? Or is it happening off season? Because these things will determine what you can negotiate with the venue. You have to determine how flexible your client is. What's more important to her? Is it the date Is it the venue? You know, is there some flexibility there? Is she willing to concede maybe with the wedding with the time of the wedding reception? When I asked Angelica what time the wedding was scheduled, she said the ceremony would be at 1 and the reception would be at 3. So a reception at 3 o'clock actually isn't technically dinner. So it could technically be a lighter meal than having, you know, a sit down dinner. Let's say if it was starting 2 or 3 hours later, then we definitely would say that's a dinner reception, and traditionally that costs more. So getting back to priorities, what, you know, are they foodies? What can they live with? What must they have? What can they live without? These are things that you need to know, Angelica, so that you can now move forward with negotiating. Because in order for us to negotiate on behalf of our clients, we have to have knowledge. We have to have knowledge about what our clients want, what they want and what they won't accept, what they're not willing to budge on. And we also have to know about the area and, in this instance, that location. So let's talk a little bit about that. It's like if you had to buy a car, I doubt very much that you would just go straight to the dealership and pick out a car. You would do some homework first. So we have to do the same thing. We have to do the homework for our clients. This is what they hired us for. And granted, Angelica is in her own, and I quote, she says, "I'm practicing my planning," but you have to go out there and be knowledgeable about what's going on in your area. I already mentioned the cost of local weddings, but specifically for this venue, what's their reputation? Do they have great reviews? What's the feedback like? What are other vendors in that area saying about that venue? The vendors know. Anyone who's in the wedding industry knows what's going on because they're doing weddings every weekend. So what can they tell you, Angelica, about that location? What are similar venues in that area charging? So are you getting a deal that's real expensive, middle of the road, or are you really getting an awesome deal for what it is? But the significance of all that takes a back seat to how much the bride can spend. Again, if her budget is $15,000, we're already hitting the $17,000 mark here, and she hasn't got her dress or anything like that. So it looks like, based on what you were saying, you're saying is that the venue is willing to negotiate, but you're saying you're not sure. You said they called and asked the bride what they feel is a suitable budget for her, but what if they count on something way too high? Here's what you have to understand. The venues want your business. They want brides to come in and have their weddings there. That's what they want. But it has to be worthwhile to them, the venue. So when you're saying you don't want to insult them, I get that. But if you do a little bit of homework, you'll know whether or not you're insulting them. Because if you know what other venues in the area are charging, you will know instantly where this venue is. And it with regard to that, and then you can begin the negotiating skills. And then you also have to understand and look at it from the vendor's point of view. Yes, you're there to represent the bride, but what can you do for the vendor? Is there anything you can do to make their life easier? They've got everything included, but is there something, like, for example, if they're doing flowers, if you can just get a florist to drop off flowers and set up the centerpieces, would that make their life easier? And then in exchange for a lower fee. So you have to understand what it is that you can do for the vendor. But what would be really key, Angelica, is to get them to provide you with a breakdown of where this cost is coming from. They've got a breakdown by person, but if you can see the proposal that they're presenting in writing, and then you can see the line items where these different costs, how are they getting to the $17,000 figure? And when you have that in front of you and knowing what others are charging in the area and knowing what type of reputation they have and knowing what other vendors are saying about this venue, then you're in a better position to negotiate. You also have to know, and I mentioned this earlier, is it their busy season? Is demand high or low? Usually if a venue is willing to negotiate, they don't have a bunch of people knocking down their door for that date. So it sounds like they want your business, but you're saying it doesn't fit the bride. But my first instinct, I have to say, is that I think it doesn't sound like a venue that's going to work for her budget. Unless, even if they do come down to the $15,000, she still has a lot of other things that she needs to purchase. Does she have the money for that? So these are the things that you have to look at. You're a wedding planner. Can you bring the venue more business? Can you bring more brides to them? I know you're in Orlando and they're in Miami. Can you do that for them? So you have to have that in the back of your mind so that you can go in there and have an intelligent conversation without insulting them, as you say. You also have to understand, too, what negotiable items are, in this case for a venue. For example, comps. Could they throw in something? If it's a venue that does the catering and everything, could they throw in maybe the rehearsal dinner or something like that, or a brunch after for the next day for the out-of-town guests, if that is the situation. If your bride is very into ice carvings, for example, could they throw in an ice carving include that in the package? I'm sorry, I'm tongue-tied. So these are the things you have to know, but you can only know that if you've spoken to your bride, and knows what's important to her and what's really not a big deal. And maybe she couldn't care less about ice carving. So these are the things you need to be able to know so that you can negotiate serving ratios. And what I mean by that is the number of wait staff to the number of guests. What is that? You ask them, is it 1 to 25? Usually what I mean by that, one waiter for every 25 guests. What is that? Can we change that? So these are all things that you can do to negotiate with the venue, but you have to go in there with knowledge. Again, it's the only thing I can liken it to is like when you're buying a car. You're going to do some homework. You're going to know what kind of car, what kind of features. You'll know what dealership A is probably charging and dealership B. And try to get your bride to look at some other venues. She may have her heart set on that place, but there may be some other locations that she's missing. And Angelica, if you talk to the wedding vendors in that area, they can tell you because they know. They know. And if you go to other venues, then you do have some bargaining power, because then you can say to this venue, well, we are looking at some other places and we've got some quotes. And in comparison, I want to see, looking at what you're providing versus the other place and then so forth. But you have to, my screen went black. I'm sorry. So you have to have those tools in order to have that intelligent conversation. And this is part of the reason why it's really important for us to develop relationships with vendors before we get brides. We have to do that. You want to try to reduce the chance that the first time that you talk to a vendor is when you have a client. Yeah, they'll be happy to talk to you then, but if you can at least have that one meeting with a series of vendors in your area, your life will be so much easier as a wedding planner. Ask me how I know this. If you take the time now while you're getting your business set up to go out and meet vendors and check out venues, you will be in a better position when a situation like this comes along, even if it's a place that's not immediately local to you, because then you'll have vendors that you can lean on and ask for their input, and they can tell you. If you're talking to a caterer here, they probably know another caterer across town or further away that can provide some insight for you. Okay, so the other thing, too, is we need to be prepared to provide our clients with other suggestions. So when I say that, $15,000 is her budget and she's looking at a place that's running her into the $17,000 range, then you've actually now got to start looking for venues that can fit into the amount of money that they have. So I've kind of given you a lot of different ways to go there. I don't know if you find that helpful, but you've got to do a little bit of homework, a little bit of legwork so that you can communicate with this venue. But find out, and don't feel pressured to do anything on the spot. I like the idea of just sleeping on something, just thinking about it and just really letting it soak in with your clients before they make the decision. Because normally, and if they try to come back and say something like, well, this is the deal we have after today, it's gone. Unless they've got a crowd of brides beating down their door, that deal is probably going to be there tomorrow. So unless they're giving you something that's crazy, crazy, it's just such a great deal and you want to jump on that, then yes. But for the most part, when someone tells you that, that's usually not the case. When you contact them tomorrow, it will be just fine. So let's see, is there any comments in the chat? Oh, there's a lot of comments in the chat. So I've just been talking and talking and talking and talking. Let's see. Courtney says, I don't ask my vendors to negotiate their fees. Their fee is their fee. I let the vendor know what the bride's budget is, and if they are willing to work with the bride's budget, I help facilitate a conversation. I definitely get that, Courtney. I get that. The thing is, in this situation, the venue has already approached the bride, it sounds like, to negotiate. It looks like they're willing to do that. And usually that means, again, that there's no, it's not high demand for that particular date. So then even if you don't encourage that, and I get it 100%, you may still need to do that. You may, if your bride has, your clients have their hearts set on it. But again, you need to have a conversation with your clients before they meet any vendor. And I've said this before, even if my clients are going to meet the caterer, or, well, that's not a bad, that's a bad example in light of what we're talking about. If they're going to meet the florist or the photographer, we have a pre-vendor meeting. Maybe it's overkill, but I make sure that I let them know this is what's going to happen. This is probably what we're going to talk about at the vendor meeting. Even if I'm not going, I will prep them so that they're aware of it. But again, this comes back to you trying to, you need to develop relationships with vendors before you start bringing clients to them. So you have an understanding of what their costs are. I think a lot of us get into this wedding planning business thing and then we get stuck. But you have to, if you do something as simple as meeting vendors, and I've said it so many times now, I hope you understand how important it is. It's going to make your life so much easier because you'll already know. And it does give you some leverage and negotiating power because they realize that you're a professional and that you're probably going to come back with more brides. So we as wedding planners have the opportunity to negotiate where your clients may not so much, because it's a one-time event usually. So something to think about. Let's see. Athena's saying getting a photo booth for the reception instead of okay. Sometimes I talk like I have hot food in my mouth. Sorry. Getting a photo booth for the reception instead of a photographer for the reception saves a lot of money. It does, but it just means that you have to be in the photo booth. What about the pictures of, you know, the candid moments, if that's what your client wants and so forth? You want to be able to get some of those pictures too. But that's definitely a way to save some money and maybe reduce the time that the photographer is on site. So I like that idea. If I'm confused, Athena's asking, if it's all inclusive for 3,000, how is it getting to 17,000? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me break it down. What Angelica says is that the venue, the rental alone is $3,000 plus $99 to $150 per head. So the way they've broken it down is kind of silly because I don't believe that you can just rent the place by itself. You probably have to rent the place and get the other part. But the way they've line itemed it, they're saying it's $3,000 for the location and then per head, let's just use a round number, it's about $100 per head, but that includes the food, the linens, the table, the cake, everything except photography. So that's really where that came from. Courtney's saying, make sure the bride is appreciative of what price breaks a vendor is giving. I find vendors will give more to brides that they like or brides that are appreciative and not pushy. That's true. Was that what they say? You can catch more. What is it you can catch more of with honey instead of vinegar? Is it flies? Yeah. So being pleasant goes a long way. And I have found that to be the case because I have a bit of a short fuse. And have you ever done that? You just sort of flown off the handle and in hindsight, just been a little embarrassed, been there, done that. But I've learned too that being pleasant will go a long, long way. You can still be professional and, you know, firm, but you don't have to be obnoxious and just have that reputation of being just a wedding planner from hell. And I know some of them in this area. You don't want to be that kind of person. Okay. So Angelica, I hope that helps. I don't know if anyone has any other feedback, but negotiating is a tough thing no matter what you're doing, whether you're planning weddings or not. And, you know, in some cultures, it's just expected that you're going to negotiate. So remember, the thing is to talk to your couple and make sure you understand how much money they have. And if they have $15,000, then you want to try, your job is to try to keep it within that $15,000 range, and be the voice of reason so that when they fall in love with something that is clearly outside of the budget, my intuition is just to try to steer them away from that. But instead of just steering them away, I'm trying to guide them into something else. The dinner thing is a prime example. Most of my clients want to have a reception on a Saturday evening with full dinner. But if you have a limited budget, or if the place that you want, you have your heart set on, that the pricing doesn't match, then maybe they can have the venue, but instead of having dinner, they can have a brunch wedding reception. And usually the immediate response is, they don't like that. But you have to paint the picture and help them to understand it can be a beautiful wedding all the same, but they can get so much more bang for their buck with a brunch as opposed to dinner. That may or may not work, but that's your job. Your role is to present those ideas to them so that you can move forward. But definitely try to steer them away from going up with the funds. And if it's no problem for them, then it's no problem. Fine, have at it. But usually if there's a budget, do your best to try to stick with that. Okay. What else we got? Athena's saying know the comps of venues in the area to be sure you're getting a fair price. Yeah. Knowledge is the key part of negotiating. You have to go in there knowing some stuff. You can't go in there blindly. So you want to go in there with confidence. You don't want to be the cocky person, but just that you're letting them know that you're aware of what's going on in the area. You know what price range this falls under. If they're medium, if they're high end, or if they're, you know, if they're low, if it's a budget location, you know, and you'll begin to see if you believe that to be fair. Your clients are expecting you to educate them on that. So that's a little tricky, but negotiating it's really about knowledge and knowing how the venue works and how they make their money. You know, I was talking about the staffing ratios. That may seem like a small deal to you, but staffing ratios equals payroll. That costs the venue money. So every time they need, if there's an extra wait person that they need, they've got to pay for that. So that's cutting into their, you know, potential profit. So you have to know that so that when you go into the negotiating stage, you can make those intelligent suggestions so that you're not sounding completely ridiculous. And as you say, not insulting them with your suggestions. So, okay. Well, oh my, it's almost 8:45. So we kind of got up to the 45-minute mark. Isn't it great when we get involved in a topic? It was an awesome question, Angelica, and I hope I've helped you there, but just do a little bit of digging and find out. But my overall feeling, and I'm coming from the outside, I don't have all the facts, with a budget of $15,000, even though this venue includes a lot of stuff, coming up to the $17,000, even if they were able to match $15,000, I would still be concerned because I know there's other stuff that your clients are going to need. So unless they can easily get the additional money, I would start looking for some other places and coming up with some alternate suggestions. And at the end of the day, the decision is theirs to make, but you just make sure you provide them with suggestions that can help them. Okay. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this live call. So we'll try to get the recording uploaded as soon as possible, but definitely by tomorrow, Wednesday. And again, tomorrow I am hosting a live class for Wedding Business Guide. If you didn't get your email, Wedding Business Guide members, the live class is tomorrow at 7 p.m. And we're talking about how to create a welcome kit. Okay? All right. I think that's it. Any questions before we disappear? Okay, looks like we're good. If you know someone else who's in the wedding industry or thinking about becoming a wedding planner, please let them know about Confetti Radio. It's great when we get folks on board because we can learn so much from each other, right? We really can. I've learned so much from you already. All right. So our next show, let's see. Let me look at my notes here. It's next week, but, you know, I don't have the date. Next week is the 26th. Oh, yoy. So our next live event will be on Tuesday, February 26th at 8 p.m. Eastern. I hope you can join me. If you're not on the Confetti Radio email list, please sign up. Go up to confettiradio.com and just sign up there and check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/confettiradio and twitter.com/confettiradio. And also Confetti Insiders is the Facebook group, so you can just find us there. All right. My name is Debbie Quain, and you've just listened to another live broadcast of Confetti Radio, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. I hope you can join me next week, February 26th at 8 p.m. As always, love and success. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Take care.
You are listening to Confetti, the wedding planning business talk show on ConfettiRadio.com. Conwort, confetti. Conwort, confetti. Conwort, confetti. Fettuccine, linguine. Spaghetti, confetti.
Talk show.